Good morning. We'd like to see the title of good law in the book of Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 12. For online course people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 1, who are those who know the law? Who are those who know the law? Question 2, in verse 6, delivered from the law, what does it mean? In verse 6, the phrase delivered from the law, what does it mean? Last question, in verse 12, why is the law or the commandments which is holy, just, and good? Last question, in verse 12, why is the law or commandment which is holy, just, and good? We'd like to see the background in the previous chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Also verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So in chapter 6, disciple Paul talked about that if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are no longer under the law, but now you are under grace, or you are slaves of righteousness rather than slave of law or sin. So this one's two opposite angles. One angle, law and sin. The other angle, grace and righteousness. So two opposite, you know, angles. So continually, today chapter 7, he's talking about under grace. So comparison between sin or law and grace. Verse 1, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law. Here the audience is those who know the law, which meaning those who have a relationship with the law, those who understand the law. So here the law in this context, the law is given by God in the Old Testament. So therefore, some people who are practicing the law in the Old Testament are Jewish people. So basically, those who know the law, which meaning those Jews who have a relationship with the law in the Old Testament, that the law. But the book of Romans' major audience is to Romans Christians, not in Jews and Christians. But in order to make Romans Christians or Gentile Christians, disciple Paul brought the Jews, you know, the people, those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. So as long as he or Jews who practice a law lives, he is subject to law. What does it mean? So you set up certain rules of law in the Old Testament. You are, you know, practicing that rules during your life or as long as you live. So that is for the woman. Then disciple give one example. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law over her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law over her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law of her husband, so that she is no adulteress, although she has married another man. So this one is basically, you know, one, you know, married a couple, so husband passed away, she become widow, so widow can marry another man, so it would be okay. But if her husband is still alive, but his wife can have a relationship with another man, called as he married another man, she is called as adulteress, so otherwise, or she committed adultery. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 and 9, also same context. But I say to thee, unmarried and the widows, a woman who lost her husband, that's called widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But here, disciple recommend a widow who lives by herself. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. So basically, self-control meaning self-control, you know, the sexual, you know, passion. So that kind of thing, so let the widow marry. So disciple allows the widow to marry, you know. So that kind of example, you know, right, hypothetical example. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the Lord through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another man, like a widow's remarriage, another man to him, who is it? Who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. So, you are, you know, subject to law, but so the law was dead. So at that moment, you are free, you know, from the Lord. So what does it mean? When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are dead to the law or sin. So this one, next phrase explains the law is the revealer of a sin. So the law is a clue to reveal, you know, the sin, that kind of thing. Dead to law, although the body Christ, you may be married to another man. So when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are dead to the Lord with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross with blood to cleanse away your sins. Then you are rose again to the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose again after 3 days in the grave. So that's called, you know, a newness of your life. So that's why we should bear fruit to God. So fruit to God, meaning the spiritual fruit. You know, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such the original law. So the fruit to God, which means agape love. Agape love, you know, can describe it. The eight, you know, derivative, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, fullness, gentle, self-control, and so on. But this is a fruit in a little, you know, the different meaning from increase in New Testament, because of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because of like a number, quantity kind of increase, you know, that's a real different meaning. The 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, meaning Paul planted, Apollos words, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Increase meaning the numbers, you know, increase the numbers of people. So those one is subjected to, you know, soul, you know, gossip, work, not you. So basically, Paul, you know, plenty, meaning Paul, you know, introduced the Lord Jesus Christ to Corinthian people. So now Corinthian people accept the Lord Jesus Christ becoming, you know, Christians. So then Apollos, you know, continued teaching word of God. That's called, you know, words. So those things are nothing to increase, you know, up to the Lord. Also Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, 32. This one, we can see, you know, some difference between fruit and increase. Another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field." So mustard seed, a little thing, so which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and become a tree. So this is not, you know, natural growing. Mustard seed, you know, up to like in a tree, you know, extremely, you know, the increase, you know, that kind of, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. The birds, you know, same chapter verse 19, Jesus said, you know, the birds, you know, wicked one or a devil. So some kind of human activity, they can make, you know, certain increase, you know, not, you know, naturally, you know, flow or, you know, the subject to God's word, rather than, you know, the artificially, you know, some kind of abnormally super growing. That is the bird, meaning the devil, you know, wicked one, you know, the stay, you know, in that tree, you know, that kind of thing. So really, we can see, you know, the increase, you know, up to the Lord. We just focus on our, you know, ordained ministry part. You know, if somebody is ordained to plant, like Paul, you know, just faithfully planting, or like Apollos, you know, the watering or taking care of a sheep and teaching word of God. So Apollos kind of people should be faithful to minister, you know, by watering his sheep. Then, you know, increase totally up to the Lord, not like human, you know, activity, some kind of abnormality. Right here, mercy seed become a tree. So naturally, mercy seed is never become a tree. Mercy seed is like a herb, you know. So that is the tree, then moment the bird. In the same context, Jesus explained, you know, the bird in chapter 13, verse 19, that's a wicked one. So some kind of, here, fruit to God, meaning the God's fruit, or, you know, the spiritual fruit, you know, agape love, you know, actually. "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the Lord." So right here, in the flesh, aroused, which revealed by the Lord. So if we live in the flesh, so the simple passion can be discovered by law, will at work in our members, our physical members, to bear fruit to death. What does it mean? So fruit to death, in, you know, Romans chapter 6 and, you know, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." So ultimately, the result of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is a total contrast. So since the ultimate result is death, but God's gift is eternal life. So one, you know, without Jesus Christ, without God, so lives in there, which means lives in flesh, you know, own self-righteousness, those people, their own passions, you know, uncontrolled emotions, which is a simple nature, is revealed, discovered by the Lord. So the Lord is the revealer of sin. So without law, we don't know the sin. But now we have been delivered from the Lord. Delivered from the law, which meaning now, which meaning becoming Christian. Now we, as Christians, have been delivered from the law, which means freed from the law, which means not bound to the law, not subject to the law. Having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve it in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Letter meaning letter of the law. So new life really based upon, you know, spiritual work, not based upon foolish work to perform a particular little letters of rules of the law. Not is delivered from the law, which meaning freed from the law, died to what we were held by law. So died to law. So here, the Romans chapter 8, verse 1, newness of life, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, says, right here, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, meaning Christ Jesus is the Lord, Master. We are subject to Christ Jesus, who do not work according to the flesh. Not, you know, our master, no longer flesh, ourselves, flesh, no longer. So according to the Spirit. So according to the Spirit, because our master is the Spirit of God. So we are, you know, living according to the Spirit. That's called the newness of the Spirit. So new life in the Lord. So our life is not based upon, you know, performing of a particular law, rather than, you know, the following to the Spirit. Then is also verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? So the first previous that the law is revealed sin. So therefore law is a sin? The answer is certainly not. Absolutely not. On the contrary, I do not have a known sin except through the law. So right here in a particular, law is the revealer of a sin. I would not have a known sin except the law. Right here, Daniel disciple gives one example. For I would not have known covetousness unless the Lord had said, you shall not covet. So you shall not covet in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 21. Let's see. God, you know, given, you know, a particular law. Particular law is which meaning a standard or norm to control human behavior is called the law. So right here, law does not mention, you know, secular law rather than, you know, God-given, you know, law. So Deuteronomy chapter 5 in, you know, verse 21, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, you shall not desire your neighbor's house. He's a field, he's a male servant, he's a female servant, he's an ox, he's a donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. So basically, you shall not covet, you know, your neighbor's any possession or thing. Explained by God, you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, 21. Because of that one, so if I covet your neighbor's sports car, you know that I am guilty of the particular law given by God to Deuteronomy chapter 5, 21, because you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, you know, anything that is your neighbor's. So therefore, we can know my heart, my passion to desire to have your neighbor support your car is guilty over the particular, you know, law. So, but the law is a sin. No, but sin taking opportunity by the commandment produce in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. So, because of law, I can know my sinful nature in my heart. So the taking opportunity by the commandment produced in me. The commandment is one of Jesus said, you know, two greatest commandments. First of all, love God, you know, with all your heart, you know, soul, you know, mind, you know, so like that. Then the second is love your neighbor, you know, as yourself. So those commandments, so those commandments, whenever I am meditating, those commandments, we can, you know, discover all manners of evil desire in my heart. You know, really Can I love your neighbor as yourself? So really, can I consider as much as yourself as you are? Or as a homeless people as yourself? No, the answer is no. So whenever I think over your neighbor, so obviously we marry and own evil desire, not, you know, meet you. That, you know, commandment is discovered by the commandment given by God. So here, for apart from the law, sin was dead, which meaning because if we didn't know law, we wouldn't know sin. If there were no greatest commandments, love your God, you know, all your heart, you know, then is love your neighbor as yourself. So those commandments, I wouldn't know, you know, even if I did not consider my neighbor as myself. So that is, I wouldn't know that. So that kind of, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. This is the disciples, you know, testimony. I was alive once without law, which meaning disciple was alive physically once without the law, which meaning without understanding the law or without, you know, having relationship with the Lord. So that kind of thing is actually, you know, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, you know, we can see. Paul was alive once without law, you know, that time the verse 1 and 2 said, Saul, because Paul's, you know, former name Saul, Saul still threatening, murdering against the disciples of the Lord, went to high priest and asked the letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So he didn't know, you know, the law. That's why, although his heart, you know, was a threat to kill, to murder, murder against disciples of the Lord. So the criminal intent, so he had it, but. He didn't know. So Paul was alive once without the law, because without understanding the law. Then he met Jesus, and he journeyed, he came to near Damascus. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to ground, heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus appeared with the light. And Paul said, Who are you, Lord? Here's Paul, you know, called the Lord, which meaning disciple Paul accepted, you know, Jesus Christ as the Lord, you know, right here, law. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then he's asking God's calling to disciple Paul. Then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So God, you know, the Lord said, you know, he will give your duty, your calling through somebody. Then it's 17 verse, said, then Ananias showed up, went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight. Because when, you know, after Saul, Jesus Christ, his eye was closed, but now you may receive your sight. Now disciple Paul can see and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then disciple Paul, you know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So we see, you know, that scenario. So first time the disciple trying to, you know, to kill, you know, the Christians. So on the way over Damascus, so that kind of, he was alive without law, without understanding the law, although he had intended to kill, you know, Christians, but he didn't know, you know, that's guilty of love, commandments, you know, the Jesus' great commandments, to love your neighbor as yourself. So he didn't know. Then, disciple Paul, you know, was filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, filled with all the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Then, when the commandment came, sin revived. So he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He is full of the Holy Spirit. Then the greatest commandment, the Jesus commandment, came in disciple. That moment, disciple Paul discovered his sin. Therefore, the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, disciple Paul's testimony, this is a faithful saying that worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners, this is a faithful statement, or a truly statement, a worthy statement, the sinners over whom I am chief. So he testified, I am chiefer of sinners. I am chief of sinners. No, the commandment came, sin divided. So as Paul testified. So right here, the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul testifies by himself, I am chief of sinners. We can see the newness over the Christian life, you know, the Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. The disciple, before accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, disciple, you know, set rules of the law, you know, given by law. So he lives by own performance of a particular rules for zealous, you know, for God. So here's a testimony. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but to you it is a safer. So here, to rejoice in the Lord, that is joyful life. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. Mutilation meaning the certain Jewish people who require, you know, the circumcision, physical, you know, circumcision for salvation, you know, by, you know, practicing over, you know, circumcision law, you know, in the Old Testament. But we are circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit. So circumcision meaning here, spiritual circumcision. So which means we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning we, you know, are dead into the law, you know, required, including circumcision law, you know, something like that. So, but our, you know, the master is no longer law, but rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Spirit of God. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, right here, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So we have no confidence in flesh at all, you know, to perform, you know, the rules of law. Although I also might have confidence in the flesh. Right now, he explained, he testified, he was alive once without the law, without understanding the law. I also confidence in the flesh. If anyone else think he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So basically, the southern Judah, you know, major tribes, you know, two of them, one is Judah tribe, the second Benjamin. So Saul, the first king of Israel, came from, you know, the Benjamin tribe. So Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. So law is a very emphasized Pharisee. Also, they make up, you know, interpretation portion as a law too. Pharisee concerning zeal persecuting the churches. So concerning zeal, jealous, you know, for God, you know, therefore he is persecuting the church, meaning the Christians, the group of Christians, you know. So that kind of life, you know, he was alive once without the law, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But, so verses 1 through 6, and you know, he testified, disciples' life once without understanding the law. But what things were gained to me now in the body which me now after understanding, these I have counted loss for Christ. All those things counted loss or which mean nothing for Christ, yet indeed I also count all things loss. Why? Because the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So his life is focused on the Lord, you know, Jesus Christ, to whom I have suffered the loss of all things, counted them as rubbish. So everything is considered as rubbish because of excellence only knowledge of the Lord. I may gain Christ. So he's living, he's wanna be, you know, just like Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. So, which means his life is no longer performed, you know, a set of rules of the Lord given by, rather than, you know, in Christ, the working of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you know, totally controlled disciple. Be found him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but which is through faith in Christ. So, you know, faith in Christ. So, whoever accepts the Lord Jesus Christ or, you know, has a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is alive in him. So the Spirit of God controls him to his life. That is the newness of life. The fellowship of his sufferings, fellowship his suffering. So when Jesus died, you know, I am also dead, you know, with Jesus Christ based on faith. Being conformed to his death, right here. Be conformed to his death. Conformed, you know, equally. So when Jesus was crucified, I also, when I accept the Lord Jesus Christ also, I was dead, you know, to law. So if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from death, then is a resurrection, is a new life. Then is here, there are the newness of a Spirit explained, verses 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained, am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of death for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So which meaning, you know, to let, you know, Christ hold my life, let the Spirit hold my life. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or to have arrested, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So he's focused on Jesus. His life is focused on, he want to be obedient to the Lord. So he want to get, you know, the prize, which the Lord, you know, will give me when I meet the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's called the newness of the Spirit. So basically, my life is a worker away from law, but toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of thing is the newness of life. So, disciple Paul testified, verse 9, I was alive once without law, without understanding law, so that's why he tried to threaten Christians. But when the commandment came, commandment Jesus, you know, love and your neighbor yourself, came understanding sin the Bible. Then he testified, I am a chief of sinners. And I died, you know, so my flesh and everything died, everything considered, counted as the Lord's. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. So commandment is you know, Jesus' word or God's word is life. Why? But I found, you know, myself, you know, the death. The first of all, law or commandments is the word of God, not like, you know, secular law, you know, commanded the word of God. So God is holy, God is just, God is good. Therefore, the commandment or law is also holy, good, and just. That kind of, the problem is me. I could not, you know, to perform that commandment or law by my flesh, because the Lord is like a schoolmaster, only reveal in my simple nature. That's why Lord introduced me, you know, they like introduced me or caused me to work toward the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me. So about the sin is a problem. Commandment revealed my sin. The sin, the wages of sin is death. So the sin is death. You know, first spiritual death, mental death, and physical death. Then finally he killed me. That's why he counted everything as a Lord's. Counting everything, meaning everything, which meaning he'd be able to perform a set of rules of the Lord given by God, considered nothing, considered loss, considered death. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. So commandment actually was to bring life, and commanding good, you know, love your God, you know, with your all your heart, your strength, you know, the mind, you know, like that. Then is your neighbor as yourself. That's good. The problem is I cannot perform by myself without the work of a Holy Spirit to attain, you know, that establish that commandment. That's a problem. So God is holy, just, and good. His word also is holy, just, and good. The law is His word, so the law is holy, just, and good. So we can explain in Florida, you know, I went there, it was very hard. So I, you know, jumped into the water in order to swim. So while I was swimming, I saw the sign said, no swimming, alligators in the water. So that moment I revealed by myself, my swimming is wrong. To be killed by alligator. But the sign is nothing wrong. Sign is good, you know, sign, because if there was no sign, I couldn't know my swimming is wrong. So that kind of a sign kind of thing is law. You know? Law is similar to sign, you know, some kind of, you know, to teach us, reveal our sin. That moment, law is good, you know, so just. But this case, you know, God's law, so therefore the law is holy. So therefore, law does not save the sinner. Law does not save the law keeper. Law does not save the person with a new nature. So law does not save a sinner, lawkeeper, or, you know, the growing Christians either. So we, you know, always, you know, focus on the Lord. That kind of life is called the newness of the Spirit. So let's see each question. In verse 1, who are those who know the law? Those people, you know, Jewish people, who have a relationship with the Lord given by God. So know is a relationship. We can see Luke chapter 1, verse 34. The Gabriel, you know, angel, you know, told Mary, you may conceive, you know, a boy. But the 34 said, then Mary said to the angel of Gabriel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Here, no, I do not have a relationship with a man, you know, that kind of relationship. So here, the same meaning, who relationship with the Lord, those in the Jewish people who understand the law, who practice, you know, the law, you know, that is the Jewish people, talks about that. In verse 6, delivered from the Lord, what does it mean? In verse 6, right here, but now we have been delivered from the Lord, having died to what we held by. So delivered from the Lord means freed from the Lord, so that we should have seen Jesus. So basically, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we were dead to the Lord, or freed from the law. Delivered from the law, which means freed from the law, which means we are not under the law. We are not subject to law. Lord is no longer master. So our master, Lord Jesus Christ. So the spirit of Jesus is a leader, our leader. We just following the spirit of Lord. In verse 12, why is the Lord commandment which is holy, just, and good? Because the Lord commandment is God's word. So God is holy, just, and good. Therefore, the Lord, the commandment also holy, just, and good. The problem is to us, not to law at all. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer. Then we conclude in today's sermon. God bless you richly. Bye.